Welcome to the Westside Gathering Podcast. We appreciate you making time to learn and grow with us. Here you will find teaching from our live Sunday gatherings. After the message, we'll say a little more about our church and how you can connect. But for now, have a listen.
I wanted to share about a unique baptism in the scripture. And it's not a baptism where a disciple baptizes another disciple or where the Apostle Paul or others talk about baptism in their texts. But it's actually the baptism of Jesus. And as I thought about his baptism, I wanted to read it together and just jump into this story with me for a moment. It's Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. It's just a few verses, and we get a glimpse of this really unique moment where Jesus gets baptized. So follow along or read along in your Bibles or listen, and we'll do this. So here we go. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him, I'm well pleased." Let's just pause for a moment. We want to pray for Dino and Ian, but also just invite God to speak to us through this text. God, our Father, thank you. Thank you that we get to be part of each other's stories, that we get to witness someone like Ian and Dino, and maybe it reminds us of our own story or another story of people who've come to respond to the gospel of your kingdom, to respond to the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus in faith, but also in baptism. And we just pray for Dino specifically, and also Ian, who just got baptized earlier, that we lift them up to you, God, as they have stepped into these waters. We pray that they would experience the joy and hope of your Holy Spirit, but also experience the conviction and equipping and empowerment of your Spirit to follow you in the days ahead, and that they would discover how you will continue to lead them and guide them in this fresh new step in this relationship that has been just witnessed here in baptism as well, God. And we pray this in your name and ask you, God, as we look into this story just for a few minutes, that you would speak deeply to us, every one of us here, those of us who are baptized, those of us who aren't, those of us who are exploring, God, that you would just speak to us deeply in the way that you long for us to hear. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. This is a really unique moment in the life of Jesus because it's a shift in Jesus' life. He goes from being obscure 30 years, people don't really know who he is except maybe the people in his village or his family or people he worked with. And this moment is a shift in the Gospels because it actually propels Jesus into public ministry. And people start to get to know him. They start to hear his teaching. They start to see him perform a miracle. They start to see him deliver someone from demonic activity. They hear the authority of his words. And John the Baptist is the one who helps, or God uses to launch this moment. He's one that would prepare the way of the Lord in the words of Scripture. And John was baptizing Jews at that moment. People, Israelites, who recognized that they were not going in the right direction, that they were missing what God was doing, but that God was doing something new, and John was calling them, if you want to join what God is doing, come, turn your life around, repent, come and be baptized, and follow what God is doing. And then Jesus gets baptized, but of course it makes you wonder, like, well, why did Jesus get baptized? I mean, he was already part of what God was doing. He was part of the new things that were taking place. We already understand Jesus as God the Son. We worshiped Jesus today as God the Son in our worship and the Scripture. So why get baptized? Like, why would Jesus get baptized? And was it only to say, like, I'll go first, guys. I'll show you what it's all about. Like, is that all it is? Or was there something else besides that? And I think underneath it, it shows us who God is, what God is doing, and how God is going to do it through his son Jesus. And the first picture we get here as Jesus gets baptized is this picture of identification, this picture where Jesus steps into the same waters as those who were just getting baptized by John. The same waters where people walked into for confession, repentance, turning their life around to get ready for what God was doing. And yet here's Jesus who identifies with what they're doing, identifies with their scenario. He identifies with their confession and their repentance. Not because he needed to confess, not because he needed to repent, but he's identifying with their state or the state of humanity. It's like if you imagine like a really great king who is seeing his people suffer, and they're suffering in a conflict, and he says, I'm going to go down and be with them. I'm going to identify with the conflict. Or the people in that kingdom are sick, and he's like, I'm going to go be with those who are sick. Even if I catch their sickness, I'm going to be with them. And so this king, in a sense, identifies with them. It's like when you meet a kid, and if you just talk to the kid and say, hey, hi, Emily, what's up? I'm Dave. And they just look up at you, you know. But if you actually just come down and look at that kid in the eyes, and they look back at you, and then you have a conversation, you're still the big person in the room, but you've now identified with them, right? And in a sense, that's partly what's happening here, where to identify is to understand someone's situation with your presence. And Jesus steps into the waters of baptism that these other people just got baptized in, and he affirms and agrees with their confession of sin, that they've missed what God was up to, and their readiness to join God's kingdom and experience God's kingdom. And when you have this visual moment of what looks like a dove that descends on Jesus, picturing the Holy Spirit, we get this picture, and there's different echoes in Scripture that would say what the dove looks like, but one of them is that the dove is announcing something brand new. And if you think back to one of the moments in the Old Testament where Noah was called by God to build an ark because God was going to send the flood, and they were like on the water for days and days and days, and they saw nothing but water. And they're like wondering, when is this going to end? What's coming next? And a dove shows up on the ship. It's like, oh, there's a sign. Something new is going to take place. God's going to do something new. God's going to take us to something different now. And when Jesus shows up on the scene, we recognize God is doing something new for humanity, that in him, God's going to restore humanity and reconcile the relationship we need vertically with God and horizontally with each other. Jesus inaugurates that. He starts that. And this moment of a dove, the dove or the Holy Spirit kind of descending on Jesus is this idea that, oh, wow, God is doing something new. Are you ready for it? And it's going to happen through him. So their baptism, these Israelites who got baptized, their baptism was, in a sense, saying, I'm a sinner in rebellion to God's kingdom. I've detoured and missed this, and I'm going to turn around and follow what God is up to. But Jesus' baptism is different. Jesus' baptism is more like, I'm an instrument for God's kingdom. I'm inaugurating God's kingdom. God is breaking into our world with his kingdom through me. Will you follow me? Will you follow me? Because I will lead you there. I will lead you into God's kingdom. I will show you God's kingdom. So Jesus, and if you feel like this today, any of you or you're watching online, if Jesus identifies with all those who need change, with all those who long for transformation, with all those of us who feel like we need a U-turn, to stand with them in the waters of baptism and say, I'm going to lead you out. I'm going to lead you forward. I'm going to lead you to something new. He stands with those of us who long for that, who recognize that, who've come to discover, I need to move in a different direction and follow what God is doing. Jesus stands with us in that and says, I'm going to lead you out. That's how he identifies with us. But the second idea in this text, which jumped out at me, was this idea of instrumentation, not musical instruments, though I love all the musical instruments, but instrumentation is a sense of being used as an instrument, or how an instrument is used in a moment to communicate and to unleash something really wonderful. And baptism points to something, and it points to how God is going to rescue and restore the world. But how will God use that? What instrument will God use? What ways will God use? What words will God use? How will this be different than the world functions? And I mean, I don't know about you, but if you just watched a glimpse of news this weekend, the world is on fire. It feels like this weekend, right? There's so many things going on. And unfortunately, the default mode of, I'm going to fix the world is, let's just fix it our way. You know what? If we show a little bit more might, then we'll squash the problem and it'll never come back. If we, you know, we don't want to use violence, but we'll use violence to squash the problem and let it, you know, whatever. If we can just change this or this, and then the world's ways, the culture's ways of fixing things, of coming to a solution, of restoring something or reconciling something, often doesn't work because, as an example, with violence, violence breeds violence. It doesn't breed peace. If you've ever been in a relationship and you wanted to say sorry and you just thought, I'm going to spend a lot of money on that person, and you realize, yeah, they thanked me for the gift, but it didn't really fix the relationship. Money or exorbitant amounts of money don't fix those things that are broken. Jesus says something in verse 15. It's the first time that Matthew records Jesus speaking, and Jesus says these words when we're talking to John the Baptist. He says, let it be so now. It's proper for us to fulfill all righteousness. That word righteousness is kind of a way of saying even the word justice, or we can talk about it as God's will or God's ways or how God functions. And so Jesus saying, this is going to fulfill all righteousness. He's clarifying. He says, this is what's required for God's plan to work. This is what's required for God to come and bring restoration and freedom and peace to this world. And so he's saying that in that way, like, just watch, because this, what I'm doing now is part of God's plan. It's going to reflect God's plan in this. Now, but the odd thing is, baptism is something that gets done to you, right? Dino walked into the water and we baptized him. He didn't baptize himself. Baptism is something that gets done to you. So in a sense, you're surrendering to it. So that's why John is thinking, whoa, Jesus, like, I'm not going to baptize. I'm not going to baptize you. You should baptize me. I should be the one submitting myself in the water. I should be the one who immerses myself in the water. I should be the one who, at your hands, voluntarily, you baptize me. Why would I baptize you? And Jesus says, nope, you're going to baptize me. Because when you baptize me, this is going to show the world how God works. This is going to show the world that God's kingdom is different. This is going to show the world that the way God comes to bring restoration and peace and relationship to the world is different than how the world functions. So John concedes. He's like, okay, I'll do what you say. You know, I've been kind of wanting to follow God's plan all along. I don't want to mess it up now, Jesus. I'll do what you say. He concedes, and Jesus is baptized by John. And that act, as Jesus is baptized in the water, this is a voluntary act. Jesus voluntarily submits to John baptizing him. It's a voluntary act where Jesus submits to John's baptism. So think about this. Before Jesus ever teaches anything, before anybody ever says, that's the guy who talks with authority, before anybody ever says, wow, he fed the 5,000, or he healed that person, or he delivered that person, before anybody ever said any of those things, he shows us how God will save the world and how one day he will give his life on a cross. And here's why. Because Jesus submitting to baptism points to the day when he will submit to a cross. When Jesus voluntarily submits to baptism points to the day that one day will come where he submits and he dies under worldly rule, submitting to a cross. The Apostle Paul said this to a church in Philippi in the first century as he was writing to them, and he talked about how Jesus, though he was in very nature God, didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he took on the form of a servant. And then he says this, he said, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient voluntarily, obedient to death on a cross, obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's Jesus. And his baptism, moment of submission there, points to the moment of submission at the cross, where Jesus humbles himself, becomes obedient to death on a cross. That's the climax of the Christian message, that God would allow his son to suffer and die under the weight of the power of sin and death. And yet this is exactly how God would free us from the power of sin and death. The world doesn't always work like this. God says, let me show you another way. Not only what happened at the cross, but the way to get to the cross and the way of the cross shows us that God is so different. This summer, actually, just a little teaser, we're going to go through the Beatitudes all summer in July and August, and we're going to notice that the ways of the Beatitudes that say, you're blessed if you do this, you're blessed if you do that, are going to look a little bit different than what the world tells us we're blessed in. And it's We'll wait for July for that. But that's coming. But that's why Jesus said, I have to do this. Me doing this fulfills all righteousness. Not only did the prophets already talk about this, pointing to God's Messiah one day that would be a suffering servant, but Jesus says, I've got to do this to fulfill all righteousness. The word fulfill, in a sense, means to complete something that God intended to happen, that God intended to be done, and now Jesus fits specifically into this role in this moment. I must do this to fulfill what God requires to be done, how God wants to show the world that he's going to bring change in a different way. His kingdom is different. And so Jesus knows his purpose, and he steps right into it, starting with his baptism. Steps right into it. In other words, think about it this way. Jesus trusted God's way. Jesus trusted God's way to rescue and restore the world. And it started in his baptism because it ended at a cross. It started at his baptism and ended at a cross. And Jesus trusted that. All along the way, he was trusting, right up until the Garden of Gethsemane. God, if there's another way to do this, but Lord, not my will, but your will be done. I'm going to trust your way. And that leads me, I have to ask myself this question. Do I really trust God's ways? Do I really trust the way of the cross? Do I really trust that God, has equipped me and called me to live differently in contrast as a faithful witness to his kingdom in the world around me that functions differently at times, sometimes a little different, sometimes a lot different? Do I trust that his ways are that way? Do we trust what God says? Jesus demonstrates in this baptism that he trusts God's way, and he's calling us to do the same thing. Here's the beauty of this. God doesn't just send them out like a lone ranger. God doesn't just send them out with a task list. God doesn't just say, here's your mission, if you choose to accept it, whatever. Mission impossible. But listen to the words. Listen to the words. He says, or hears God's voice over him. This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. God is affirming his love for Jesus, his son. He's ensuring that Jesus will be rooted in God's love, in love, as he heads out into his calling. Think about it this way. God, in a sense, is instilling Jesus with identity before he calls Jesus to activity. He instills him with identity before he calls Jesus to activity. This is really, really important because it's before Jesus ever does anything. It's before he ever's talked about as one who preaches with authority. He's before anybody says, wow, that's the guy who heals people. He didn't do anything. He was coming out of obscurity, and yet God just instills this identity in Jesus. This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And this is so, so important that he's rooted in love before he goes out into mission. And it will happen. And these are echoes of Psalms 2. Go read Psalms 2. Go read the beginning of Isaiah 42. And we get these images of, in Psalm 2, this is my son who I'm anointing as king. In Isaiah 42, this is the one I'm calling to act justly on my behalf. And he will be one that suffers for me or suffers in that role. So we're getting these images of what God's Messiah will look like already in the prophets. And here we sense this, that God is not just being compassionate on his son Jesus, but he's commissioning him for something. He's commissioning him for something. And we didn't get to read it, but the next verse, if you read the next verse says this: the Spirit sent Jesus into the desert. The Spirit sent Jesus into the wilderness. And Jesus would be there for 40 days, fasting and being tempted and tested by Satan. Tested and tempted in ways that all of us can be tempted and tested, but in this moment, directly trying to hit at and getting underneath. Are you really God's son? Do you really have this power? Is God really for you? What's your real purpose? What really affirms you? What really does this? And Jesus is catapulted into that before he starts teaching and preaching and healing. And God sends him out into this. And it reminds me of this, that the best protection from temptation and testing is identity. It's identity. And this is such a good lesson if you're a dad. And it's a real lesson for me that my kids, as now they're already young adults, they don't just need to be sent out into the world. They need to be loved and poured into. But then the reverse is true. They don't just need to be loved and poured into. They need to be sent out. They need to be prepared for life, prepared for conflict, prepared for mission, prepared for work, prepared for relationships. So yes, as dads, love your kids well, but prepare them for what's coming, because we all go through wildernesses. The world is a wilderness, and we need to be ready. And you will not be protected by really cool tools. You'll be protected by being steeped in identity as God's children. In some ways, we all need this. Don't we all need this? It doesn't matter if you're a dad or not. It doesn't matter what age you are. We all need this. And Henry Nouwen wrote a wonderful book. He, and I've shared his quotes before, but he was one who was had a great academic career at Yale and Harvard and super smart and wrote a lot of books and all this kind of stuff. But he felt really called to go and be with, for the remainder of his life, with people who were mentally and physically challenged and handicapped in many ways. And he just lived among that community with all the smarts in the world. He gave himself to that, and that was part of what he sensed was his calling. And he wrote many books out of those experiences. And often people that were not in those communities would write him and say, like, I'm stuck, and I need this, and what advice would you give me, and how can you pray for me? He wrote this really wonderful little book called The Life of the Beloved. If you have an old version of the Bible, we read, you know, in whom I love, God's voice over Jesus, but some older versions of the Bible say, my beloved son. And so Nguyen writes this little title, The Life of the Beloved. And it's really about this businessman who's been crushed under the pressure of cultural values and crushed under the pressure of other things going on in his life and crushed under the pressure of just trying to keep up with everything, trying to do this, this, and this, and that. We heard a little bit about that even in some of the stories this morning. And I wonder if you might feel like this. He writes this in the book, and it's not the solution, but he writes, I think he gives voice to the problem. So here's what he says, and maybe you might relate. Nguyen writes, aren't you, like me, hoping that some person, something, or event will come alongside to give you that final feeling of inner well-being you desire? Don't you often hope? Maybe this book or this idea or this course or this trip or this job or this country or this relationship will fulfill my deepest desires. But as long as you are waiting for that mysterious moment, you will go on running, always anxious and restless, always lustful and angry, never fully satisfied. You know that this is the compulsiveness that keeps us going and busy. This is the way to spiritual exhaustion and burnout. This is the way to spiritual death. I wonder if some of you felt like that at a moment in your life. Maybe some of you are feeling that right now. Maybe you know friends who would describe their life in that way. That's often how culture will call us to live. And Nguyen writes in this book, echoing Matthew chapter 3, and he encourages this person in the book, listen to God's voice over you every day. Be reminded of God's voice over you. Be reminded of who you are in God's eyes. Be reminded that the God of the universe loves you and is calling you into life and mission and purpose. Listen to God's voice like it was over Jesus for you every day as a son or as a daughter. As you walk in this world, and let that voice shape your identity. And the reason why is because if you don't, every other voice around you will shape your identity. Every other voice around us will shape our identity. But Nguyen is calling us, just like here in the scriptures, to be shaped by the voice of God as overheard. We're eavesdropping into God's voice over Jesus, but we can take it for ourselves. And like, I hear that for me. I'm God's son, God's daughter. Or maybe you don't feel like God's son or daughter because you haven't come into that relationship. And God's saying, you can be my son, my daughter. You can in Christ. That's why Jesus went before you. He stepped in the waters of baptism to identify with your situation, your disconnection, your separation from God. And he's like, follow me. I'm going to take you there. So you can hear that voice when you enter into a relationship with Christ. The beauty of baptism is not just a sense of belief, but it's a covenant relationship with God, our Creator and Father, and it's made possible through Jesus Christ. And so when someone enters the water of baptism, it is a sense of covenant relationship with God. You're immersed in that relationship. You're immersed in that love. And that's what God longs for you. And some of us are separated from that. And he's saying, come. Jesus is saying, come, follow me. Jump in the water, in a sense, and die with me, be buried with me, but then be raised with me. And you're going to come to this kind of life. And you too can know deeply God's voice over your life, saying, my son, my daughter, in whom I love, in whom I'm well pleased. I'm going to ask the team to come up, or maybe just Rich or who's coming up. But we're going to pray. And I just wonder in this moment, maybe some of you, as you're hearing these words from Jesus, maybe you're a follower of Christ like me, and it also speaks to you because you're thinking, I long for this, you know? But I want us to take a moment and pray, and I'm going to ask our prayer team to come up as we wrap up right now. And just think about this. I so long, and maybe it's like maybe I want to pray a blessing in a sense for you, that you and I would hear and receive the words and the voice of God over us. That we would hear and receive the voice of God over us. For those who got baptized today, that Ian and Dino would receive and hear these words as though God is speaking right over them. But for those of you who are baptized, and like me, I've been baptized for over 3 decades. I'm still living into my baptism. I'm still growing into my baptism. I'm going to keep doing that. And my prayer for those of you who are baptized is, would you hear in a fresh way God's voice speaking over you? He longs for you to be steeped and rooted in that kind of identity before you walk into the world with any kind of activity. And for some of you here today who are just longing for that, I want that. I long for that. That's my hope. I want this new life of God's kingdom. I want to understand and live the way reflected in the cross of Christ. Well, then you got to trust that God's way is better, that God's way is best. You got to, like, just like those people who walked into the baptism, into the river, say, recognizing, I'm going the wrong way. I've been going that way, but God, you're going this way. And if you want this, then you got to turn and follow Jesus and embrace that. That's called confession of sin and rebellion and distraction and distance in our life. And it's called repentance because we turn around from that and we say, I want to follow Jesus. And when you do that, then you start to experience this covenant relationship with God in Christ, through Christ, because of Christ. But you have to say, I trust that that's the way forward. That's how I want to move forward. I want to follow Christ in that way. So would you stand with me as we pray? And I want to just say it's available for you, just like those who stepped into the Jordan River and those who stepped in baptismal waters over the centuries. It's there, just like it is for Dino or Ian. So just take a moment and just maybe express your heart, your own prayer to the Lord in a brief moment. And then I want to pray with you and for you. Your prayer might be, Lord, give me the ears to hear your voice in a fresh way. Maybe your prayer might be a prayer of confession and repentance to begin a new journey following Jesus. Maybe even as a follower of Christ, you might want to recognize and confess that there's so many other voices shaping your identity, and yet you know deep inside, because you have been following Jesus, because you have been baptized, you long to live into that and grow into that, so God's voice would be the main voice that shapes your life. Let's bring that to God. In Jesus' name. Bless your name, Jesus. Thank you, God. Our Heavenly Father, you are the one our hearts and our lives long for. And we recognize, we just want to confess in a fresh way today that the ways of the world do do not lead us in the way of life. And we recognize that there are still at times voices, ideologies, ideas, just clamoring for our attention to shape us. And God, we recognize and just state our dependence and declaration that we trust your ways. They are better. They are the best ways. And thank you, God. Thank you that in Christ's own baptism, you identified with our situation. You identified with humanity. You identified with the brokenness and pain and sin and rebellion in our world, and even how that cuts right through us at times, Lord. God, you identified with us. And yet while we were in that position, you sent your son Jesus to be an instrument to lead us forward, to rescue us, to restore us, to die under the power of sin and death, and yet to defeat the power of sin and death so we can enter a covenant relationship with you, so we can hear the affirming words that you spoke over your son Jesus, so we can also hear that we are your beloved son, your beloved daughter, your beloved child. Oh God. And as we trust you, we also welcome that you're sending us out. You're commissioning us as your baptized people to be into the world, to be a faithful witness for your kingdom, oh God. So we thank you for that. Would you empower us and lead us today? For some making a decision for the first time today, as we've seen Ian and Dino over these last few months make that decision, God, would you help us to be a community, a soil that would just allow those people to grow in faith and life of your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope this message helps guide you on your spiritual journey of discovering the life and message of Jesus. We update this podcast weekly, so why not hit subscribe and journey with us? Who are we? Westside Gathering is a local church in the West Island of Montreal. We're a simple community of faith where we want you to feel welcome regardless where you are on your spiritual journey, and hope you can grow with us. We meet every Sunday, but you can also find smaller groups, environments, and resources for all ages between Sundays. We would love to hear from you, ask a question, ask for help, or let us know how we can pray for you. Find out more at westsidegathering.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Vimeo. If you'd like to contribute financially, just go to westsidegathering.com/giving. Until next time, peace.